Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
If you're there and you're just kind of feeling out everything, you're feeling out the scene, the situation, the stadium, feeling out the other team, see where they're at. And that's the first time you kind of get to look your opponent now.
Tom Brady loves some Tom Brady. Oh, this is what I'm thinking. I get to look the competitor in his eye. This is the first time. And you get to say, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Boom.
Jalen Ramsey had a lot to say about various quarterbacks around the league. He said, you don't suck.
Okay. This is the kind of game it's going
to
be.
You saying this to me, is it supposed to like bring fear to me or something? I don't fear no man.
If you're going
to
compete against me, you better be willing to give up your life.
He good now.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
So Jalen Ramsey says Brady doesn't suck, but apparently Shannon believes he sucks, right? Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, who knows? It's all about Tom.
He's just jealous.
No, I think there's bull jive. No, there is truth to that. There's a lot of truth to it because that's no different than he's ever been. I can remember a time where he hasn't been like that. It's calm, it's cool, it's demeanored, it's
bull jive.
And then it's like intense rage and anger, but controlled. Because if you're out there losing, like you couldn't control your emotions, that's when bad things happen.
Yeah, let's coach.
Fumbling the ball, you're going all over the place.
Yeah, right.
Jay Cutler's a nightmare.
Right.
I mean, unless he's on that show with his wife, that's actually a pretty good show.
Well, she carries it, though. And he would come up with a one-liner. He's a one-liner. He throws a one-liner in there, and you said, the dumb
with all the money
player.
He made, he shouldn't be doing anything.
You'd be good on one of those shows.
I would be.
Reality show.
I would be, yeah, I would.
Dumb jock, be perfect.
See, why you got to go there? Okay, dumb, fat, overrated co-host.
Okay, like, maybe.
How about that?
Okay.
Hey, you feel better now?
Be a good show. I like that show.
It would be a stupid show because you'd be on it.
Put the two of you together, would be like a buddy comedy.
Stop it.
Twins, remember that movie?
Yeah, you're all the crap that's left over. Good. You're Danny DeVito. I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Jason is in a car next up here in EEI. What's up, Jason?
Not much, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So, you know, I fell for it listening to Shannon Sharp. Brady's my guy, so you know, I don't obviously like what he says, and I'm trying to think about, like, why he keeps going after Brady. And I think it comes kind of back to what Lou said. And, you know, Lou and Christian, you guys are both professional athletes, so I'm sure you had to, you know, you had to think of yourselves as better than everybody else because that's how you got to where you are.
I still do.
You know, why not go after Tom Brady for being fake? You know, at least he's not allegedly, you know, assaulting a trainer while he's in college, playing college football.
Ooh,
he's not.
But you're not really that upset about that, are you? I mean, I know Brady's your guy, but you're not really that kind of hurt by it.
And I know it's the same old story, you know, Peyton versus Brady and, you know, the feeling that, sometimes we don't get the. I just, you know, you're going to go after Brady for being fake. Like, Peyton Manning is the fakest of them all. That, aw, shucks, you know, I'm just a good old boy and everybody, I can just hang with everybody. It's such BS. And, you know, to call out Brady because he makes these documentaries, you know, yeah, I get it. Brady, he's got an ego. They all have an ego. But, you know, to call out Brady like that and compared to some of the other guys who I think their egos are way above Tom Brady's, I just.
The thing is that so nobody's talking anything. And now, let's just say if somebody else put a video like a of their version of that little Instagram post, mm-hmm. right? How would that be received by anybody else? With Brady, it's, oh, look, it's artistic. What is he really trying to say? Look at the camera angle. Did you hear the music? He's
stoking up the fire. I mean, there's Ramsey, there's Gronk, there's Fournette, there's Tom Brady.
It is a little too much. The Instagram thing, it is so slick. I mean, come on.
You love it, though, right? I mean, and here's the thing. But he knows you love it, so he keeps feeding you.
He does.
You're hooked. He's like cracked
you.
I do wonder, like, how does this go over, say, with Bill? The TB12 times thing, whatever the hell that was always post-game.
We're not doing that anymore, right?
No, he's not, but that was post-game.
Yeah.
So is this going to be a weekly thing on Friday? Are we going to kind of stoke up the rivalry and put opponents' faces on this little thing?
No.
It's an interesting point. Maybe part of the deal, the little compromise, Alex is back.
He's part of the deal, too.
You can put him on the sideline. So the new deal is we don't have...
Got a deal with Chopra, too?
We don't have the TB times at the end of the...
Yeah, whole entourage game. Going to games. Okay, make sure you get me from my good side.
And so Bill's working around the rules.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, he's put these out before, pregame. But it's all about Brady and the Patriots. Scoring touchdowns or let's go.
Hype video. They're hype videos.
I don't know if they've ever included, like, another player on another team. Like, there's the shot of Jalen Ramsey and him talking trash.
See, that's why the start of the show.
Or the shot of Ramsey over Fournette.
It's the biggest fake. It'll be the biggest letdown known to man. Name any fight, any heavyweight fight that you thought was going to be good with a first round knockout or the Fan Man flying into the center ring, whatever. This has none of that written all over it. And we talked about what they're saying in the locker room, what they're saying in the meetings, maybe especially the offensive meetings. They're probably laughing, saying, Jalen Ramsey's never going to be near you. Everybody's talking about this. They're stoking the fires, and guess what? You'll never see him.
What do you have the over-under at?
Zero.
0 points.
Zero.
Over-under. Zero.
Zero.
Wow. Going out on a limb. You know that. You know what he's going to do Sunday morning on that pregame show. He's going to change it, and it'll be up
well,
to
you,
three.
Well, you should probably listen.
I will. The over-under will be at like
you
three.
You should probably listen.
Or something like that. No, you, I think you're right. And the one thing I think is I think the Jags are going to win this game.
Yeah,
I do. If I have them 13-3, Christian, it's a math problem. I have to have them actually losing three games, and this is one of the three games I have them losing on the schedule.
See, I'm with you because I did have them 11-5, but I got pressure into 12-4. But this is one of them.
What's the line?
This is one
you
of them.
What the line
Pat,
is right
two.
Pat's a
or
two.
Or one, yeah.
It's I think been, it's I've two, it two and one. 45.
Yeah, Patriots favorite in this one. But this one, I think they're let's see what the defense looks like. We were impressed with what we saw with the defense last week. Would you,
easy this week.
The defense?
For the Patriots,
well,
easy.
Less obviously, you don't have the offensive. Though last week, you didn't have great offensive
No, they ran the ball
power,
well. If you're so, looking at anything, right. You're looking how well Houston ran the ball when they decided to focus on the running game.
This is a better offensive line, though.
Yeah, they did. Because
they won the battle in the trenches last week. This is a better offensive line, Jacksonville.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was actually, Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue, I think it was 25 for a buck 34.
Yeah, right up the
middle. There was like a Hopkins minus 10, whatever, quarterback, eh. But I just saw this, Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, I should say. Because now he's big.
Big time.
He tweeted out, he said, interesting thing in Jacksonville was that Leonard Fournette told reporters that he heard a pop in his hamstring when he hurt himself on Sunday. He says, Jags coach Doug Marrone says that's news to him. Anyway, that's a game time decision on Fournette. I don't think so. Fournette is not playing. I think that's a big loss. I know he's not a guy that is one of the elite running backs in the game. I mean, he only averages 3.9, whatever it was in his career, but... That's still important to them.
Yeah, but
if
I told you, they need a running game.
That's their identity.
But if I was to tell you last year Leonard Fournette didn't play in three games, and in those three games, the Jaguars' offense averaged 31.7 points per game, 463 yards per game.
Who'd they play?
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Listen, stop digging into the stats. The stats are the stats, okay? It doesn't matter. The fact
stats
is,
matter who
no,
you're
my
the
fact
is,
it doesn't matter. The
doesn't
fact
matter. Does matter
that they were able. People think that T.J. Yeldon is like some crap back, and
he's okay. He's fine.
He's just he's better than okay.
Okay,
yesterday, he is better than okay.
Yesterday, you
hey,
you
did
had
you say
less
what did
okay.
T.J. Yeldon have last year on these
last
guys?
Year.
I think you say he had a good game against them. But
he ran the ball well. I think in that AFC. Let me see, the AFC title game, I think it was like, and especially in that first half, because I was looking at, did Fournette run crazy in that first half? And
no.
And he really didn't, because that's when they were scoring. That's when the offensively you're like, huh, so maybe it was kind of Fournette doing his thing. But in the first half, Fournette was 11 carries for 40 yards, 3.6. But Yeldon, it was just the little things, right? Like four carries for 22. I mean, that's just breaking a few of them. You know what I mean? But to your point, I just think that's their identity. I mean, it's kind of taking the script from Seattle. It's what they want to be. Defense, intimidate you with defense, run the football. He's not Marshawn Lynch, but this is what they want to be. And they want to be able to play off that with Bortles.
But I think they have to run the football so that the quarterback, who is not a precise thrower, can run. So now it gives you a two-headed monster back there of running the football. But if you're not getting a running attack from your running back, then it isolates what you can do against that quarterback because he's limited back there. So I do like the Jaguars. But the one thing I'll give you on this one, Christian, because I know you love them, even though you think the team's going 11-5, apparently they're losing the two games to the Jets and one against Buffalo.
The Bills. There'll be a couple throwaway games in there. Hey, it doesn't matter how they get there.
Yeah, but the one thing I will say is the Jaguars are building this game up like it's special.
And we're going to win that bitch.
Like this is the biggest game ever
in
their history.
This is not an AFC title rematch game.
And when you do that, especially early on in the season like this, and the Patriots come out and Tom Brady is pretty monotone in the way he deals with his emotions.
I like the fact that you're getting a really good, you would think contentious game. I mean, but for the most part, I don't see it. I don't see it at all. I'm not buying it. I don't think the Patriots are going to run away with it. But I just don't see the Jaguars' offense coming through.
Do you know
that? Like, I see the defense walking off the field time and time again, hoping that the Jaguars' offense does something with all the opportunities that the defense is giving them. Because eventually, with the Patriots, okay, you get them off, three and out. Eventually, something's going to hit. They are going to break the code, figure it out, because you can only stop them for so long. It's like you're just holding them back. I don't believe in the Jaguars' offense whatsoever. That's it. And that's my analysis on that.
Can I
point out, Gronk and Ramsey will not be seeing each other.
Can I point out to you that 2 weeks ago you said the Patriots would be 2-2 through the first four games?
There's no proof of that.
Then you love you have no proof of me saying that.
Love
not
them
against
one.
Jacksonville.
So what? It's two games.
So they're going to lose against the Lions.
No, you don't. I never said it.
The Lions and the Dolphins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So you don't sleep with the Dolphins.
Don't sleep
on the Dolphins. And, you know, Matt Patricia, he may be playing for his life. He may be coaching for his life.
Well, then after that, they got the Colts.
Oh, Andrew Luck has arrived.
And the Colts
Andrew Luck.
Short week with the Colts, too.
So
yeah. Thursday
he's
night,
he's
going
to predict
right?
them to go
week.
Eventually. He's going to pick them in every game. So they're going to be 5-0. So what he's saying is there's a 6-5 finish.
Well, you're one game better. I mean, what is that?
No, I'm the same as you.
So you got them to have
I got
them
losing this first, game.
No, I don't have them losing. I can't do it. You know, I would want you when you looked it. When I looked at it before the season even started. I said, "Man, that's probably one they're going to lose." But I can't deny what I'm seeing, and I just don't trust it. I don't believe it, and I'm looking at how vanilla they are and how unbelievably well Blake Bortles played in those circumstances. I don't see him doing it again. And I think this defense is better this year, the Patriots defense, than it was last year.
Because
and you have all this film.
The defense is better.
Yeah.
At least through the first week. But let's see what this is a better offensive line, as we said, than what they faced last week. And I'm not sure that Deshaun Watson was anywhere close to where he's going to eventually be. So you had a quarterback that was not playing up to his level. I think you got to put all that into consideration. Listen, if they go out and win this one, and they win this one comfortably like you've predicted, then right out of the gate, this is pretty good. Then I would abandon the 11-5.
Well, if they do, this is very good.
No, I wasn't born in Woodstock. I wasn't born in Woodstock. I don't flip-flop. I don't flip-flop. I flop and flip.
Good stock, not Woodstock.
No, Edelman's coming back.
Edelman's coming back.
That's right. I forgot about that.
There's a good chance they could go 8-0 going into Green Bay. And then they're going to go 3-5.
You know what? 16-0. Who's going to beat them?
Last year, I still think they had a chance.
Huh? Bills suck. Come on.
Maybe they'll do it this year.
You know this Jet team is going to fall apart. Might be this weekend. Fall apart. All right, 617-779-7937. A lot of football so far. We'll get into more of it. Matter of fact, in an hour, we're going to ask the question to Mike Lombardi. What the hell is it about these assistants, all part of the Bill Belichick tree? They all suck when they leave Bill Belichick. We'll get into that with Mike Lombardi coming up in an hour. But coming up next, why is Joe Kelly still in the eighth inning? Lou, you got to answer this, Lou. We got it next.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Joe freaking Kelly, dude, I knew this would be good, Joe, but even for you, I didn't know it'd be this good. You are a freaking revelation, man. That was an absolutely amazing interview. So good to have you on, Joe. Really good to rap with you. We have to do this again soon. I mean, really
Let's
soon.
Let's do it again.
Jeez. Jim Rome taking Joe Kelly to the woodshed, just Love throwing fest. These tough questions at him.
What is up?
Boston Red Sox pitcher Joe Kelly holding it down here in the jungle and joining us. You know I need to talk to you about Cali. You played your high school ball at Corona High School out here in California. What was life like for you in Corona? Sounds like you're probably repping the 909 though, right?
Oh, yeah. No.
I just love hearing him talk. Maybe Jim Rome just wears you down, and you go out there and you go into the eighth inning, and all you have to do is just quiet things down. Erod gave you strong six innings, and this is what you give us. I want to like this guy. I really do. The whole fight thing earlier in the season was good.
Oh my God, that
good
was
for his image, good for his confidence.
So
he was
long
a hero.
Ago,
it was so.
Can
long
we
ago.
Just say that he just got the whole Joe Kelly Fight Club? He just got knocked the f out.
He
can we say that?
He just knocked the f out, man.
It's enough. He's done.
I think he's in trouble.
Convince me that 3 weeks from now, Lou, 3 weeks from now, they're going to use Joe Kelly in the eighth inning and we're all going to be good with
it. It's not going to happen. No, I'm just saying. So don't, you know, last night you could sit there and say that's exactly how they're going to lose, but it's not going to be those guys they went to. This is, okay, I like.
You mean it's not going to be the, they went to Brazier, right? In the seventh, right?
Yeah, no, it'd be Brazier, but I'm just saying, then it was what, Pointer? Okay, and then it was Joe Kelly? Yes, that ain't going to happen. Yes. Okay.
No, it was Pointer, then Joe Kelly.
Yeah,
so Pointer gets the lefty, right?
He got his job, he did the job, he gave up the home run. You know, for me personally, like, you know, I don't want to make a habit. If you make a habit of it, then you got a problem with the long ball. But I just like the fact that he's goes after guys a little bit more than others, but that's on Pointer. But anyways, I like what is going on with this bullpen. It's scary that Cora has no idea who can do this job.
Are you being cynical when you say but you like it?
No, I like the way what's going on, okay? So when you think about these games mean absolutely nothing, correct?
Correct.
I mean, they mean nothing.
Correct.
So you can sit there and say, great, you came in and did the job against Toronto. Great, you did the job against the Mets. There's absolutely no pressure on him. What he's done is he's created pressure in that bullpen. Okay, right now Alex is probably sitting there saying, I got Kimbrel, I got Barnes when he comes back, and I got Brazier. Okay, those guys. And I even say
I'd
Barnes.
Say right.
Yeah, Barnes is a good pitcher. I just don't think he's the eighth inning lockdown that they either. Think he is, but I still think he's a good pitcher. Now what he's done is, I got four other spots, guys. I don't know if he calls them in a room or not. And says, I'm going to put all of you in high-pressure situations. Maybe that you're not comfortable with or whatever. And I'm going to leave it up to you guys. So now all of a sudden, some meaningless Toronto game, when you come out of the pen, there's stress. There's pressure. Because you got to show that you can do this, get out of the gym, throw the ball well to prove you can make this team. So it's when you say it's meaningless, it's not meaningless to these guys. So what he's finding out is, right now, in meaningless games, he put enough pressure on all these guys to win a job that you're starting to maybe find out who might be able to handle it in the postseason or not.
Okay, having a big year, 4-2.
Before you get there.
Just over four. He's got 62 strikeouts in 61 and a third inning.
He sucks in the eighth
but
inning.
But you know what I'm saying? Sorry. So I think last night, Joe Kelly lost a spot.
Okay, so you
and
like...
And it's one game.
Okay, so
it hasn't been good lately.
You like the audition process. That's what you're
talking about. Well, I like that he has created competition and pressure on these guys in meaningless games.
I'll give you that. Here's what I don't like. I look at the personnel. I look at the audition process. I look at the playoff games coming up in 3 weeks. Their ass got bailed out last night because of a stupid-ass error on a pop fly at second base.
The night before,
pass ball. Okay? That's not going to happen when you're playing these better teams in the postseason. Erod gave you six solid innings. That's the best he can do, Lou. He can't do any better than what you got last night. So as a starter, you look at it under normal circumstances in the playoffs and say, that's one of my starters. That's a third or fourth guy out of the rotation. I'm going to get six solid innings on him.
Erod looked good.
That's not good enough because they don't have a bullpen to finish that game off for him.
They're trying to find out who can handle the smallest bit of pressure. Because it's wide open. Like we were talking about before, I named those three guys. To me, they're in. Okay?
So Barnes, Brazier, and Eovaldi. Kimbrel's obvious.
Kimbrel's
obvious. But Eovaldi's in there, too.
We don't have to mention
Kimbrel. Going with seven. Those three are in. And to me, I think Wright and Eovaldi are in. That's five. So now, see, to me, the bullpen stuff, you need stuff to get guys out. So you look at them and say, okay, you guys all got stuff. But to be a reliever, you know, come in pressure situations, it takes a lot more than just stuff. Can you handle it?
Joe freaking Kelly.
Do you attack hitters? Do you attack the strike zone with confidence? Because now it's really mental. Now it's like mental makeup. What are you going to be like in this spot? And he's trying to find out. And I'll tell you, I don't think Brandon Workman's got the best stuff out there. But there is a chance that he could find his way on that roster instead of Joe Kelly.
Boy.
I mean, he's created this now. Okay, let's go.
Well, aren't you?
You'll determine who's on the roster.
And I agree with you. And that's what when we were talking to him on Wednesday. You know, the game on Tuesday, I was like, wow, he's putting everybody out there trying to see who's going to fit. Yeah. So it wasn't an audition. He admitted to it. Yeah.
They don't have an eighth.
And this is why it's going to be difficult. Last night was a eye opener for me because I was refusing to believe it.
I was hanging on to
Joe Kelly.
Very positive.
That was David Price, though. But Joe Kelly, I think you can take him off your list. I think you're gonna officially.
Well, knock the f*** out,
yeah,
man.
I think the whole Fight Club thing. It seems like it was like 5 years ago. It was so long ago. It just doesn't. It doesn't work. And I think you are trying to force a round peg into a square hole, and it's not working.
See, the most pressure spot other than a closer for any of these guys is the eighth, And he's rattling through different guys because he's trying to put them, you know, with the competition in the back of their mind, you need to perform to make it. I'm going to try to put them in the highest pressure spot in, that I possibly can to see if they can get out of it. So he gives Joe Kelly, just go give me an out, and he can't do it. So he gives Workman, bases juice, two outs, strikes the guy out on three pitches, attacks. So you start to maybe find out. Maybe tonight it's he gives Hembree the eighth.
He needed
if he
a,
can.
He just, needed a strike. All he needed is a strike to get Pilar out with the bases
out.
Loaded, and he hits him. I mean, that was
two guys.
Yes, that was awful last night. That was absolutely awful.
That's my point. So awful. That experiment, I think you can officially put to rest.
Yeah, but they don't have an eighth inning guy. Barnes. Barnes might be
they
okay
do.
If
they
you're
do.
Using him in the sixth or the seventh.
They do.
Who? In the eighth?
Sure. Steven Wright can be an eighth inning guy.
No, he can't.
Sure he can.
No, he can't.
You don't think he's an option?
Nope.
He is an option.
I think you saw it the other night.
He is an option.
The other night.
You got to turn away. You may have to do, you know,
can't
avert
turn
tries.
Away. Can't turn away in the
eighth
inning.
Ivaldi can be an eighth inning.
No, in a playoff game, you get two guys on base. First two hitters get on in the eighth inning. Steven Wright is out of the game. Okay? It's a regular season game. As Lou said, doesn't really count much. It's for your playing
Toronto.
Here's
the thing, though, Glenn.
You can turn your head the other way.
You need
can't do that in the playoff.
You need to, you know, expand your mind a little bit and look at it differently. There isn't an eighth inning guy because there isn't an eighth inning guy. So stop trying to force one guy.
So,
it is eighth inning by committee.
So what you do is you look out there and say, we got a bunch of guys.
Yeah, okay? We got a bunch of dudes.
So you guys all have your up whatever, your pluses, your minuses. I need to put you in the highest pressure spot because now I need to know mentally if you're going to fight, if you're going to attack, if you're going to be confident, if you can go out there and throw strikes. And I would say last night, epic fail by Joe Kelly. Very good from Brandon Workman. And I don't think he's got the best stuff.
No.
But if he's got the biggest set, then I'm in. Throw him out there. I mean, as part of this
he's
group.
Done it. He's done it before.
See,
in
I think
playoffs,
I don't too. I don't think there's going to be – I don't think this is going to be one guy. Like, if one guy emerges and it's obvious, I mean, that's job – you know, Cora's job is easy.
It
but nobody
one,
is.
Christian, it can't be one guy. They don't have a guy.
Nobody is seizing the opportunity. Nobody is grabbing
that's not
that
good.
Position.
That's
and
not
I agree
good.
With you. So, God, what are you kind of left to do? You kind of just have to, okay, I saw Ivaldi today. I saw a little twinkle in his eyes. He looks good.
The
you know, hey,
is,
I saw Wright today,
but here's
and
what,
he had a skip in his step. Boy, I tell you what, when it really comes down to it, you know, I think you should think about him.
I don't like your odds, though, when you're asking a manager through every single game to make the right move.
He goes
continuously.
On
that's right.
I mean,
he's got to make the right move.
Well,
as opposed to these other managers of other teams.
But, Glenn,
since
but he doesn't, that's, they don't have, he doesn't have that luxury. That's the problem. He doesn't have that luxury.
And Glenn, you could bang your head up against the wall. They didn't go get that guy. This is who they've got. So now he is trying to put each of these questionable pitchers in the highest stress situations to see who comes through. The problem I have with Workman, and Thornburg's another one, like Workman last night's throwing a ball 94, you know, with the cutter and a curveball. And I've seen him like recently came out throwing 90, 91.
Mm.
And Thornburg's the same way. He throws 94 one game and throws 91 the next. So I'm like, okay, what are they? At 94, I like him. You know, so it's just, there's a lot of inconsistencies. They don't have that guy. He's trying to find out mentally who can handle it, and he's giving them the biggest test. The best thing for this team is to have close games here over the next week and continually have seventh and eighth inning hold situations and say, show me you can do it.
No, my point is.
But even then, Lou, he still might not know.
Mm.
He may be making these decisions in the middle.
but that's not his
fault. Stop doing it just for me.
But that's not his fault. And I'm not
no,
blaming,
I know.
I'm
so,
not blaming Cora. Cora's doing what he, the only thing he can do right now.
He's in a bad, he's in a bad spot.
Real bad spot. And that's the point I'm trying to make, Christian, is that people will take some shots at him because he's going to have to make far more moves. Going to that bullpen in the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, well, maybe not the 9th. He doesn't have to worry about that. But he's going to have to make more moves than any of these other managers. And it's all because Dave Dombrowski did not fill up that bullpen for
him. The way they do those the scouting reports, especially once you find out what team it is, you start looking at individual hitters. And it's all matchups. Now it's like, what's his weakness? What's his strength? You know, this guy's weakness is power fastball up in the zone. You know, okay, then we got to go with someone that could throw that slider below the zone. You know, so their entire lineup and bench is going to be strengths and weaknesses, and they're going to have probably names next to them saying, okay, this guy matches up well with him, that guy matches up well with him. So it's all matchups. So you're right. You could sit there. We're going to watch a baseball game and go, I can't believe, you know, you just pulled a righty for the righty. And then maybe a guy gives up a bomb. And we're going to say, what the hell is that? But it's all going to be on matchups because he thinks Hembree's a better matchup on this guy than he does Barnes. And it's that is a scary way to do it for a manager, boy.
He's going to work a lot harder than A.J. Hinch or any of these other managers. He's going to have to. And that is all because Dombrowski did not fill up that bullpen. They were depending on Thornburg. Before that, Carson Smith. Here's Rusty in Plymouth. He wants to talk about it. Go ahead, Rusty.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that we have to do in the playoffs is a three-man rotation. Either Sale or Eddie Rodriguez is the eighth.
Say that again.
So Rodriguez is your so a three-man rotation of Sale, Price, and Porcello, and Rodriguez is your eighth inning guy?
Yeah, and Kimbrel. Do it.
Every game?
Well, if you're looking for an eighth inning guy, right?
Who's going
to
start?
So you want to take the best pitcher in baseball.
If he's not going to be up to speed, Lou.
Well, that's a completely different story.
Yeah.
That's a completely different story. If he can't start, if he can't throw 95 to 100 pitches, then we're having a different discussion.
Yeah.
Right.
But how about if he's healthy? What do you want to do, Rusty?
So I want to go Price, Porcello, Sale, Erod in the eighth.
So wait. I'm sorry. If Sale is healthy, you're going to have start him game three?
Well, he's going to have to pitch the last game in the regular season, right? So that puts game 2-5.
No. You're not pitching.
By the way, there is so much time off. There's no resetting your rotation. He could pitch Sunday, the last game of the year, and still pitch Friday, the first playoff game.
They're going to clinch the beginning of next week.
You can make it a three-man rotation, use the fourth starter as the eighth inning.
Boo jive!
And here's where I think that's a mistake because
someone's going to go on 3 days rest. Then
that's crazy, and it can't be Sale. And I'm not sure you want Price to be that guy either, especially since you've got him in a good groove right now.
You don't go three days rest in the ALDS. The only time you think about that is in the World Series.
That's right. When there's no tomorrow, and you're in a place, it's ridiculous. The other thing about Erod is the one thing I think he's proven. Is he can give you six solid innings. Now, he'll give up 110 pitches. Boy. He'll give you 110 pitches to get through the
all the starters are peaking at the right time. All the starters, and Chris Sale will get there. All the starters, Price, all those guys, they're all peaking at the right time.
I want to see another one out of Erod because it was awesome performance. Then it was a little bit of a dud. Then it was a good performance, a great performance last night, too, right? Efficient.
He said one bad game.
Sandwich in there. So I want to see another start or two from him.
Sandwich? Did you say sandwich?
Sandwiches. Oh,
But we know where he is, though. He gives you six innings. We know what he is. He's the one guy we know what he is. The problem is the guys in the bullpen, other than Kimbrel, we have no idea who they are.
Auditions.
What they are. That's the problem.
Two weeks to go. Yeah, two weeks.
Oh, my God. Good luck. All right, 617-779-7937 right here on the OMF.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
6, 18, I don't know. You know, we will never know how many we lost. I hate that people make it a political issue. This is about human beings and the people that went through this, they know what happened.
Alex Cora said that he doesn't get political, but he did step into the political arena yesterday when he, threw it at the president because the president apparently doesn't know. He's got a math problem very similar to yours, Kristen. He didn't know how many people had been killed in Puerto Rico. There's still some debate or whatever. And Cora, and this is near and dear to his heart because he's from there. He went back down there during the spring to help people out, to contribute. He wanted to make a statement yesterday. I don't blame him. You know, if I'm in his position, I do the same thing. But is he going to take anywhere close to the heat that J.D. Martinez took?
To be tweeting about 3,000 people and be efficient and it's actually disrespectful. For my country, we see it that way. I know probably he doesn't feel that way. And like I said, hey, man, thank you for helping us. He went down there. He did what he did. I hate talking about politics and all that, but I think this is more than politics.
He was more than fair.
The way that he tempered it,
he was more than fair there.
Exactly. I thought he handled it fine. It was an awful scene down there. I don't know what the number was. Is it somewhere between 18 people and 3,000? I have no idea.
Yeah, they think it's...
All I know, it was awful. I remember Victor Rodriguez, the coach last year, the hitting coach, his family was down there. They're like southern part of the island, nowhere near where the food was being brought. you know, to all the areas that was being shipped in. You know, the boats were bringing the food in, but they couldn't get up there to get it. And they couldn't get the food down to them either, or any of the stuff, because they had no gas. They couldn't get gas. They couldn't put gas in cars. They couldn't get anywhere. So they had all these supplies that the country couldn't get. I mean, and they went months without electricity. It was an off. I don't know what it was, what the final numbers were. But all I know is that country was in a lot of trouble for a long period of time.
Well, it's so George Washington University released a study that estimated like over 2,900 died in Puerto Rico as a result of Hurricane Maria. And I can easily understand, right? So I know you don't want to make it a political thing, but somebody comes out and say, only about 18 people died, 6 to 18. And isn't that kind of a wide range, 6 to 18? I can understand, maybe 17 or 18, but 6 to 18? So it's as low as 6 and as high as 18.
Well, the worst part about it was, and this is where I agree with him, it was disrespectful because you're bringing up how we're dealing with the latest crisis. The Florence is coming aboard. It's going to drop 40 inches of rain. There's going to be flooding everywhere. And he's talking about that, and suddenly Puerto Rico pops up into his head. I get it. I totally understand it. But the question I have is, here in a blue state like this, they're going to love him. He took a shot.
I was going to say,
even though it was a tempered shot, you could hear it in his voice. I thank him for what he did.
He's about a country that really suffer. We still, you see the hurricanes forming now. Everybody's panicking, and it's not easy. But hey, one thing for sure, and I told you guys before, one thing I'm proud is like we standing up on our own 2 feet. Like, do we need help? Yeah, we do. We know that. But we've been battling through it. We're not where we were, but we will be there. And it's just a matter of time. But, it's a little bit kind of like frustrating that the topic keeps coming and coming and coming. What's the point, honestly? And I respect him. He's the president of the United States, but I don't agree with a lot of stuff that he says about us.
But what's wrong with that? I think that's as you can do it.
I think it's temperate.
I mean, Tiger Woods did something similarly, didn't he? Didn't he kind of say he respects the president and everything else, and he got killed for it?
I don't see how anybody could give him a hard time about
this. You respect the position. I think that's the whole thing. You should respect the position. You don't have to agree with everything he says.
It's your next governor of Massachusetts, right there, Alex Cora.
Cora was actually respecting the fact that he did help him. There are a lot of people. Yeah. There are a lot of people, certainly on the Democratic side of the aisle, who do not believe that he did anything to help people.
Well, I just feel like they feel like if you're Alex Cora or, someone, if you're from Puerto Rico, you feel like, President Trump is arguing with Democrats and we're going back and forth, Democrats, Republican. And meanwhile, what we're doing is we're using this argument and we're sitting there saying, it wasn't 18 people dead. It wasn't 3,000 people dead, only 18. It's like, leave us out of your fight.
Yeah.
You guys want to fight amongst each other? That's fine. But leave as far as how many people passed away and the tragedy that went down there. Stay out of it.
I don't even know how Puerto Rico came into it yesterday, other than he was dealing with the other crisis.
But yeah, did somebody ask him about Hurricane Florence? And
well, that's what he was talking about. He talked an awful lot about.
But he transitioned into the president.
Crisis, and he got into the Puerto Rico thing because they were concerned. They're still concerned right now. They're talking about flooding where the water may rise like 9 or 10 feet. 9 to 10 feet, you're in the second floor of houses. Forget about
it. And all the explosions and the fires that are going on in the state.
So do you have this Columbia gas?
I do.
Have this Columbia gas as well?
For now.
What do you mean for now?
What does that have to do with it?
Would you call to get a change today?
I don't think you get a choice.
I don't think you have a choice, though. If you're in a certain neighborhood.
I think Eversource can do it.
They can serve your neighborhood?
I don't know. I have to check.
Yeah, he's been working on it. I can tell he's a little worried.
What would you feel? They're out there for, maintenance, right? Isn't that what it was? They announced they're just maintenance to make sure everything's okay?
So they're just coming to check the gas.
I get Callahan sleeping on my couch now for the weekend.
So his neighborhood's affected by it, right?
Yes.
So you guys are hanging out every single day?
I bring them in. I'm like you. I open up the door for people, leave it open, and people want to come in and take people off the street. But what a wild scene that was. I was watching that last night. That was crazy.
Yeah, I had people calling me from California saying, are you guys okay? Every time there's a storm or some sort of catastrophe or whatever it is, not even a catastrophe because it's not like there's earthquakes here, but every time there's a big storm or something, people in California, like, they freak out.
Typical Cali guy.
Yeah, over the overreact.
Not, no, but if it's not an earthquake, yeah. It's not a catastrophe. Look,
have you ever been in an earthquake?
Not that there's any catastrophes out here. I mean,
okay, what is the
I want a nor'easter.
Oh, please. So a bunch of snow? That's not a catastrophe.
Why don't you come on down to Brent Rock next time there is one. Just hang out in the streets.
Okay, there's no earthquakes here. You never have to worry about that. Try growing up in California as a kid, worrying about earthquakes every time you lay your head on the pillow, okay? You don't have that here. Oh, wait, school may get canceled because of snow? Ah!
Sounds like you're proudly repping the 909, though, right?
818. Repping the 818. This is typical. There's no hurricanes.
Because you don't have
there's
earthquakes.
There's no tornadoes.
There's nothing out here.
What is there? What is there to worry about here? So honestly, there's nothing. Some wind and some rain. Oh, Ordway, his umbrella fell down because he lives by the beach.
That was a problem. That was a problem.
Big deal.
How shallow are your friends, though, in California?
What?
There are three towns that were affected by it. Do they think
they don't know any better? They are shallow. They're shallow.
They don't realize you don't live in those three towns. They don't know what town you live in.
Yeah, they just figure they assume that the Massachusetts is kind of like Rhode Island. It's a really small state. Everybody knows each other. There's like two high schools, and that's it. You know, Plymouth Rock is actually a rock. No, it's just, it's nothing special.
So
are you
fearful now, both of you, that you're on the same gas service, that it's coming to your house?
I'd like a little bit more heads up when they plan on doing some more maintenance.
So that's what they were doing.
I'm a little worried about it.
Did we find out?
Don't they got to leave you a note or something like that saying, hey, listen, we're coming to check your gas lines? Hey, make sure you're out of the house. Leave your door open just in case, like, this is some weird backdraft.
They don't feel good about it. They were really lucky because one died, right? And that was a freak situation with their 18-year-old guys in
chimney?
A car in the driveway. The house blows up. The chimney falls off right on top of the car. He was waiting to pick somebody up in the driveway. What a bizarre situation that was. But they were lucky that you didn't have a lot of one person died.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What was the final count? Was it 80? Was it 80 homes?
Yeah, it was over 70. I'm not sure what the final. Oh. They may still not know
Hopefully
what the final count
right.
is. How bizarre is that, though? Just bizarre.
Are you even loud back in your general area? I think that would just ultimately freak me out. Whenever there's
Wouldn't they have to check your house out thoroughly?
I think they'd be knocking on everybody's door.
Would you go back in?
I'm not going back in. It's like sharks in a pool. Like, no, done. Not doing it anymore. I'm
leaving all the windows and doors open.
What is that? You smell gas? Call a gas company.
The problem is you smell gas even when you don't smell gas.
It's a different type of methane gas.
I smell gas for the next 3 months.
Call the fire department. And they come in your house and they just all their gear on and just get your floor all dirty and knocking stuff over.
I need some help with this one. I didn't realize this. Today is the official last day for Jemele Hill.
Oh, it is.
At ESPN. Yes. And she's walking away with $6 million or something
like that.
So the first thing I would say. Because I'm reading all of the reactions. Sports Illustrated wrote this wonderful piece that if they'd given her time, the show was taking off and people were watching it. It was going to be terrific. No, nobody was watching it. Matter of fact, the reason that ESPN had to move on from that show is every week the numbers were going down.
Yeah, this guy, Jimmy Traynor, writes an article for Sports Illustrated, SI. I think he wrote that thing about ranking all the NBA players, too. he says, like it or not, you got to give her credit for never backing down when the heat was on.
No, that's not true.
And I'm like, okay, all I needed to hear there was Jemele Hill sacrificed everything. Right? Then I'll just be like, here we go. But in the article, he says
about how
ESPN should have left them alone because they had an audience.
They didn't
have an audience.
No.
It was shrinking.
Who has a PhD in Twitter clapback, I'm here for it.
What it was someone who had guaranteed money, who saw where the show was going, who saw people weren't listening, another failed career, who decided to move on and stand up for something she believed in.
What's funny to me is that so you have guys like Bill Hoffmeyer, right? He runs ESPN Sports, right? Basically the sporting division, whatever his actual title is. So he tweets out this message about and to Jemele Hill. Jemele Hill is as talented as she is fearless. Wouldn't that be somebody you would want? You know, to work for you, like someone who is as talented as she is fearless.
He's lying.
Congratulations on her many successes at ESPN, and I look forward to seeing her do more big things in her next chapter. So she did work for you, right? She's great.
but
you're pushing her out the door. Like, she's awesome, and she's successful, and she's talented, and she's fearless. Yeah, you want nothing to do with her.
You know,
that makes absolutely
no sense.
On
the way out, he wants to make it look like he still really likes her.
So then
hire her back.
Yes, bring her back.
She doesn't
have to have her own show.
Give her her own show. She's outstanding.
She's fearless.
So let me get this straight.
It's even better.
So let me get this straight. So they
Why does she not have a job?
They have somebody legally under contract for $6 million. and they really love her, and they really think she's talented. So why wouldn't you hold on to her? Why would you pay somebody $6 million to go bye-bye?
I got a Maserati, though.
Oh, what?
I got a Maserati. Yeah. Yeah.
They pushed her out because they didn't like the heat, and they felt like they were losing subscribers because of her. But she's fearless.
They paid her $6 million to go bye-bye.
Fearless and talented people on your roster? Then you know what? My bad. I'm bringing her back.
$6 million to go bye-bye. Here's the problem.
Yeah, you're awesome.
They have to say all the nice things because they'll get beaten up. And all of the ESPN people and personalities and people behind the scenes are all writing the nice things.
Oh, you got screwed.
Because they're going to get Twitter
love. You got hosed.
They're going to get Twitter love. But the bottom line, and I'll give Jemele Hill all the credit in the world. She's walking away with $6 million. How many who are listening to us right now would like to be able to walk away from their job right now? $6 million.
Yeah, how do I do
walk
it?
Walk away.
Lou who do I have to, what, who do I have to insult
week.
To do it?
Lou wanted to walk away last week for $6 million. He said he'd never come back.
I'd wait for something to pop up, and I would stand by it and say, you know what? I'm going to quit because I believe in it.
More power to her. She walked away with $6 million, yeah. And oh, yeah, she'll get another job tomorrow.
But these people,
especially the people that hired her and Sports Illustrated,
they're cowards.
Who were sitting there talking about how great she is and wonderful. And if we had stayed with her, she would have gotten great rate. No, she would not have. Mm. And that's why you're paying her $6 million to go
See,
on.
See, what this guy should tweet is like, you know what? She's fearless and talented, but we're too big of a. We're so cowardly. We're so scared of what she's done to us. We want nothing to do with her.
We don't want to admit that she wasn't good.
Yeah, or that.
The show wasn't good.
Or the guy that hired her and gave her a show was high on coke and completely wasted all the time.
And there's this strange thing that we measure people's performance by in this business. It's called ratings. And they weren't getting any.
When the show got trashed and dumped, one of the first things that she said, and Michael Smith said the same thing, is that they were not more adamant about speaking their mind about politics and other stuff. They took the advice and stayed with what ESPN wanted to do. And maybe there is something to that. Maybe they should have been more vocal about their positions in politics or whatever. So I have a little bit of trouble sitting here having people give her credit for never backing down when the heat was on. When your show's ratings were going down every single week, I don't know about you guys, I think I'd be in one of the management's office saying, we need to do
this.
See,
what happened was John Skipper, who was running ESPN, when he came up with this idea, he was cracked out of his mind, drawing on a dry erase board, butt naked with his feet in like some Kleenex boxes. People were wondering, oh, I guess this is normal behavior by our boy.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
By our skipper. You know, come on.
I have been under the influence of cocaine on the mile.
Maybe all these people that are running networks will get less. Moonves right now and all the stuff that's come out with him. And he's walking away with how many million? Like 100, like 500 million?
What does she call the president? Now, listen, you say what you want about Trump, whatever. Like, you know, call them like a racist, whatever.
White supremacist.
Yeah. What? Are we all right with that?
No. Well, some people are.
I mean, I know some people. That's like some people. But ESPN, yet, they're not okay with it.
Kanye West gets it.
They don't want her saying it. And even though she's talented, and they gave her, I don't know how many different opportunities. They slapped on her so many different times. And they kept bringing her back. Finally said, forget it. We're done with both of you. But you're talented.
How about some evidence? You got some evidence?
You keep being you.
Give us a little evidence. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number right here on OMF.